There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pits of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination in an area which we call Elder Dragon Journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're live at the Elder Dragon Durable Podcast. This is your co-host Igor, and as always with me is my co-host Nikshan. Say hi, Nikshan.
Hi.
It's so, me. What up?
Nothing much. It really wasn't that long of a time before our last podcast.
Finally.
So, yeah. Things are happening, things are not happening at the same time, so we have something to talk about, I guess.
Surprisingly, we have topics to talk about.
Wow.
Yeah. And this is actually going to be some original content for once.
Yeah.
So, Niksha, how has your week been besides not much things happening?
Exactly like that. Nothing special, nothing out of the ordinary. Just, you know, week by week.
Any Commander games happened?
They did attempt some testing of Joyra, you know, the good Joyra.
Mm-hmm.
The one that suspends cards.
I was gonna say something different, but let's keep up with the pace.
Yeah. So, well, let's just... Before we go to Commander of the Week, do you have anything to report on?
Nothing. I won't actually mention my Commander of the Week, because I actually managed to play a couple of Commander games with somebody that wasn't, you know, you or Tess. I mean, there was Tess, but not just her. But outside of that, not much has happened. I've been working a lot lately at the actual work. Because apparently you need money to survive. That's bullshit, I say.
Well, you can go to the hills and start a farm.
In Croatia, farming is really not that good of a choice. I come from the farm country on the east, so I know how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Not that good. But you mentioned some Commander of the Week, did you?
So, I'm going to go with Joyra. My, let's say, stacked Joyra. So, my original plan is to, you know, you put in some Blood Moons, some... Winter Orbs, things like that. You just put in a couple of cards like Obliterate and some random Eldrazi or something, and you just block the game and wait until you can, you know, just cast them for free.
Yeah.
And then win the game. Well, turns out that while my idea was that for that to be the primary game plan, it sometimes just goes into just hard casting things that are hard to deal with.
Did you manage to dirtle the deck again?
I can't really say that I'm dirtling. I mean, I'm having a hard time actually putting together like a good amount of payoff cards and cards that actually enable Joyra. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's, let's say, a delicate balance. It's, you know, I still have to do quite some testing.
Actual testing,
and I'm not happy with the amount of times I'm drawing actually Blood Moon and Back to Basics and things like that. So I'll have to look into adding even more card draw, card filtering in.
Throw in a gamble.
I already do have a gamble.
More gambles, even though there's just one gamble effect, but you know.
But still, I can see myself gambling for a card and then discarding it.
Yeah, that's the problem. Because usually, I mean, when you play a deck like Alesha, you don't actually care if you dump the thing you were gambling in for.
Yeah, and if you gamble for, like, a mana vault, you really don't want to lose your mana vault.
Yeah.
So yeah, the deck was doing things I wasn't expecting, like, you know, just hard casting my big Eldrazi.
But not doing things you wanted it to do.
I mean, I always like casting big Eldrazi, but, you know, I'd rather cast them for free than hard casting them, because they're a bit safer when they're just, you know, free real estate.
Are these problems of the first variety, or...?
Kind of. Yeah. But we'll see what goodies, let's say, will War of the Spark bring. I'm looking at you, future Tybalt.
Ha!
Because you never know, maybe they'll make a one-mana Tybalt this time.
We all have high hopes for Tybalt.
Yeah, Team Tybalt.
But yeah. Anything else?
No, not really. So, how about your commander of the week?
What do we go for this week? I'll tell you a couple of games I had. First we had... Philip was playing his... Thrasios and Thymna deck. Which was a pain in the neck, but he started out of the gate swinging, but you know who was also part of that game? Big Granddaddy Kambal. Mm-hmm. Guess what? He couldn't win through Kambal, and that was lovely. He went to Ad Nauseam and didn't manage to get all the cards he needed in a proper fashion. Mm-hmm. And that was a lovely game. Then we decided to, because there was two more casual guys at the table, let's play casual decks. I landed Philip my Rurik Tar deck. I got out Yisan, Tess played Dinosaurs, other guy played Dinosaurs, and the fifth guy played the Karn, the creature one.
Mm-hmm.
Tess died like half hour in because the guy overwhelmingly spent her and she was playing Dinosaurs, and when it's only one once with no abilities, they don't work as well.
Yeah.
So she scooped up and went upstairs to play actual Commander with Marco and people.
Mm-hmm.
We were left there for like one more hour. Hour and a half. We wanted to die. Yeah. I missed all the disgusting combos and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And something extra. I put out a couple of cards from Alesha. I put in Kiki Jiki, Bell Ringers, and Azrael's Maker. And the deck flows a bit more better now. And you were surprised why was the blue and green sword even in the deck when I showed you what I took out.
Yeah, like, I have such a dislike for that sword in Commander.
It was mostly to punish blue mages, to hit them in their stupid faces.
Well, sometimes blue mages use reanimate spells, and that's a problem then.
Well, you don't hit them in their face if they're reanimated deck with that sword.
Restraining myself? Yeah, that's... I'm not a fan of that.
I mean, me neither, but sometimes you don't want them to reanimate big stupid things.
Sure.
But yeah, that was basically my week. And maybe this weekend we will have people coming over to my place and playing some games. Even though we won't be recording some stuff. But, you know.
You never know. It might happen.
Most likely somebody is going to eastwards to judge convention, so he can't actually bring us the camera. I'm talking about you, Niksha.
Sure. Yeah. Blame it on the other guy.
Person.
I mean, you can always pull out a potato cam and record with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust my phone to actually record anything proper, so...
Yeah.
But sure, yeah, that was... Basically, my week, nothing that interesting happened. I had fun playing Commander with people, and that's basically it.
Mm-hmm.
But for this week, I want to talk about a really swole kitty first.
Yeah, so we got our first War of the Spark...
Spoiler?
Spoiler? Yeah, spoiler. That's the word. So, for our first... I'm just going to go over something I heard they were saying about doing. That was really the expression I wanted to say.
Yeah.
So they were saying something along the lines of they're not going to go like the usual spoiler season where they show the super exciting stuff, and the last days are just a common and uncommon and, you know, bulk rare dump. But they're going to, like, try to make, like, a storyboard out of these cards to show us how the story develops, how the cards were developed or something like that. And every day will be filled with commons, uncommons, and mythics. And rares. So it's a bit off the usual presenting path. So, for a first spoiler, we got an uncommon. And people are probably familiar with it by now. It's Ajani's Bridemate.
But this what's special time, about this one?
Well, first of all, it's errated to be a must, not a may trigger. And he's fighting off an army of Eternals.
First he called BS on that.
On which part?
On the Kiri fighting the Eternals all alone, and actually managing to kill them.
Well, we don't know the full story about it, but yeah, the Kiri kind of looks really confident and really, you know, just kind of good at dealing with them.
Having fun, you might even say.
Having fun, even. So, I guess I would say that, you know, either the Eternals are suffering from the, what was it called? The ninja syndrome? Where, you know, the more ninjas there are, the worse they are.
Yeah, basically.
Or the Eternals are just pushovers.
I mean, there's also the option C. Oh, and that is the controller gained like bajillion life.
Yeah, and one at a time. This is one swole like ultramarine who pride mate.
Yeah, basically. You might even call him Lionel Johnson. Get it? I'm so funny. But yeah, this kid seems really big and strong and smashing super strong warriors left and right. Also, what is the flavor text on the card, Niksha?
So the player text goes, Planeswalkers conjured replicas of old allies, reminders of the home worlds that would fall next if Bolas prevailed.
So, some old Dominarian Planeswalker might get Phyrexian Dreadnought out?
Mm-hmm.
That would be funny.
I mean, if we're going to represent all the planes from where the Planeswalkers come, then I think that Phyrexia and New Phyrexia deserve, you know, a spotlight.
Yeah, but who comes from Phyrexia / New Phyrexia?
Well, we do have Tezzeret.
Yeah, but he doesn't...
Tezzeret is probably not in the set. Well, we know that he's not a card in the set, but he is probably not in the story as well, because, you know, somebody has to act as the interplanar gate at one side of Amonkhet.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think that Bolas just put these Eternals in his pocket and is like carrying them around, just bringing them to Ravnica randomly. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Tezzeret is being busy being a portal and, you know, such.
All in day's work, huh?
Mm-hmm. And that's the big secret Maro can't reveal. I mean, come on. It's like part of the story. It's really not something you have to hide from people now.
Well, apparently it is.
I mean, we'll see. Maybe the story comes out and then it turns out that Tezzeret isn't actually doing anything. Those are just mirror copies, and Tezzeret backstabs Bolas. I don't know.
Oh, snap.
So yeah.
Also, there was some release of what the products will be for WPN. And Ogre of Balls is going to be one of the promos, so we know that's a card.
It makes sense. So are we going to have like 36 new Planeswalkers and 200 reprints, or what?
I mean, judging by the flavor text.
It would be cool if they like make a Immortal Sun 2 that also blocks emblems from being used.
That would be nice. But I don't think they're gonna print anything that screws up emblems anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, emblems are basically like... They don't actually exist, but they do exist.
They're in
the command zone. I don't think they're gonna touch the command zone in standard.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's a bit iffy to do.
It's like new players coming into the game. Like, they're playing the standard, and they're like... there's this thing in the command zone.
The hell's at the command zone?
What's a command zone? Well, it's this zone where...
Your commander goes.
Put your commander. My what now? Well, there's this game mode where you play 99 cards and they all have to be within your commander's color identity, and then the new player's like, that sounds fun, I want that.
The hell's color identity? For
standard. I don't care. I want to see more of this commander. So, that might mislead people a bit.
I think the even worse option is what I said. The hell's the commander? Okay, new color identity. What the hell's the color identity? Then you just confuse the person who just is still confused by the game itself.
Mm-hmm. And now there's like 36 planeswalkers in the set suddenly.
Yeah, that's gonna be great for the New World Order because a lot of things they told us they can't do because, you know, the game complexity and people learning things. Guess what? You put planeswalkers at, you know, lower identities.
Well, every pack has a planeswalker.
Yep.
Which means that we'll probably get like two or three good ones, and there's the rest will be like, you know, table.
I mean, it has to be like that, I think.
I mean, it doesn't.
To have a balanced set, it kinda has.
Well, you can also not, you know, care about the draft experience and just put in good cards.
We can't do that.
Yeah, something has to sell the product.
But
don't good cards sell Magic product anymore?
If there's good cards, yes. Also, now that I have you, actually, just a side note, you might want to tell us why you hate Aether Revolt so much.
Yeah, because I was thinking about that.
Yeah, so. We had a question on email. Why do you hate Aether Revolt so much?
Because it when I first saw it, and when I saw the mechanics and some of the cards, and everything around it, it reminded me so much about goblins and gnomes in Hearthstone. And that set was... it was a mistake. The power level and the chaotic randomness of that set was a bit over the top, even for Hearthstone standards. And it just... kind of made this feeling that it limited so much of deck building to just playing those good cards. You couldn't really do anything with the bad cards that was like even remotely playable. And also the whole energy thing. You know how they later found out that energy is bad. And then the whole set felt like, you know, it was kind of misplaced, and theoretically it was misplaced. It was supposed to come after Amonkhet or something.
Yeah,
it was
literally misplaced.
So it was literally misplaced. Everything seemed so upscaled in power, and people can't really say that things were a mistake, like Saheeli cat combo was a mistake. It wasn't. It was intentional. Like the raffle copter, the smuggler's copter, that was a mistake. It wasn't. Like, those things weren't a mistake. They are all products of 24 years at that, was it 23 years at that time? It was 23 years of experience. And you really can't say that those things are mistakes, really, that they overlooked. They knew what they were doing. And, you know, it just seemed pushed too much. I mean, there's a lot of cards that are just don't do anything in the set, but there are also so many cards that were just, you know, you look at the cards and you can already see, okay, so these cards were meant to be together and they're going to make a cohesive deck. And the decks were kind of auto-assembled from the spoilers. They weren't really evolved. Like, the only evolution of decks was when they banned the cat. So Saheeli combo was gone, but we still had the energy. Also the engine, what's it called?
Which one? The Aether, the Marvel.
The Marvel, yeah, that too. It's like that card also restricted them from making really good expensive cards, because, you know, Marvel can cast them for free. And, you know, people love expensive, uncastable things, unless they can, you know, cast them for free. So the whole energy debacle, where you're basically getting free resources that your opponent cannot react or interact with. Like, if Solemnity came before, then, you know, we can talk then. But it didn't. And there's a couple of more things. Regarding the story, I hate what they did to Tezzeret. I didn't really read that much of the story, but I was familiar enough with it that to see that they transformed Tezzeret into a, like, an obvious bad guy.
I was gonna say Master Swirling villain.
Yeah, the obvious bad guy. Like, he was a respected judge, and he had his own, you know, inventor's fair. It was like he was in control of everything, and he resolved to stealing everything. Why exactly did he have to steal everything and not just say, okay, by the laws of this inventor's fair, everything you presented here now belongs to the state of Massachusetts, whatever. That was just the first word that came to my mind for some reason.
Oh, well then.
Everything here belongs to the state of Kaladesh.
Sounds like communism, but okay.
Or, you know, Kadladesh, as they misprinted on some boxes. And, you know, people won't object because those are the rules of the Inventor's Fair, right? If those are the rules, then people will obey them. But no, he had to go full-on evil guy-like thing, strip people of their rights, and then when people go like, oh, we don't like that, and he was like, fools, you'll all be arrested. And then, also when he fought Pia Nalar?
Mama Nalar.
Yeah, Mama Nalar. She's Pia, right? Yeah, Pia. So they had a duel, and he gave her, like, trash materials, and he took for himself some good, high-quality materials. Right?
Yeah.
That also was, like, That's not how you humiliate someone. You humiliate them by giving them really good materials, and you use, you know, trash materials because it's Tezzeret. He's a master of metal. And he really was like, his power level was supposed to be above anybody else's on that plane. Like, that plane was supposed to be his playground.
Or you could just, you know, execute her in the silent and that's it.
Like, humiliate her by showing, see, I had all this dumpster, I still beat her, now she's going to die. Because she, well, she's a hoax. She really can't do anything. There, you humiliate her and eliminate her, everybody's happy.
I'm always up more for, you know, just killing them in the background, nobody knows that they were actually here and that's it.
Or that.
It's not, you know, the most stylish way to be a villain, but it's a really effective one.
The whole revolt against the government, it really seemed out of place. I mean, it's kind of like when, it reminds me of when Jace and Vraska attacked Azor for implementing the Guild Pact, how it was a flawed system and how it's horrible and it brought chaos to Ravnica because of that one day they were on Ravnica.
I mean, it was good enough for like 10,000 years.
Yeah, just 10,000 years. That was like 10,000 years, 1 year, same thing really.
Percentage-wise, Guild Pact was really good.
This reminded me of that. So people were, there were like people that wanted unlimited access to Aether, while the government controlled Aether access. I really didn't see that big of a problem with that.
We want unlimited oil. You can't have unlimited oil. No, how dare you?
I mean, there's probably some more backstory. Probably Shadow Bladey can tell us more, but...
Well, yeah, that's a guy.
Or gal.
A person, I don't know. I would tell you the gender or something, but I don't know who the fuck that is, so, you know.
Let's just say that they didn't portray the people as oppressed enough.
Yeah. It wasn't, you know, people living under a cruel heel of a tyrannic government.
You know the rule, show, don't tell? Well, you can show through a story, and not without telling them.
Yeah.
I mean, all I know is that her parents were smugglers, and that's it. They didn't really live, like,
in the... What you're saying is, I'm hearing they were a criminal scum.
Let's say it like that.
But did we have an actual topic this week to talk about, or are we just gonna delve into high echelon politics of Kaladesh?
Well, I'm just going to go with, I don't like Kaladesh because it's my personal preference not to like it, and I don't really have that much of, you know, actual factual evidence why people shouldn't dislike it. I mean, if people liked it, good for them.
You just, like, personally do not like it.
I personally really disliked it.
Speaking of things you do not like, Niksha, what about this week's topic?
We're going to talk about Lantern Controls.
Yay! A deck archetype that Niksha really loves. To hate. He really loves to hate it.
I don't know. No. I'm not that kind of person anymore. I'm open to any kind of deck because people should play what they love to play. Even though everybody else hates them for that, they're free to play the game the way they want to play it. And I respect that.
No, Niksha, you're approaching this from a really weird perspective. No, you're supposed to let everybody play whatever they want because you're going to shut it down as a filthy stacks person.
Yeah, I mean, play whatever you want, I'm still going to do the same thing to everyone.
Basically, yes!
It's like saying, do you know what happens to a toad when struck by lightning?
Oh no! So the same.
Do you know what happens to a lantern player being hit by a Stax player?
The same thing that happens to anything being hit by Stax. Oh god, I want to die now.
So let's go over. So we have three flavors of lanterns. So we have a Grixis Mishra lantern. We have a more traditional blue-black lantern control Tsirtsu.
Yeah.
And we have the Dareti Scrap Savant lantern control.
Let's start with Dareti if we will. But first, let's. What are some common outliers that the lantern decks have?
Well, they all have Lantern of Insight.
Any other property they have or that they share?
Scepter combos?
I mean, not all of them, but generally this is a deck that is characterized by a bunch of artifacts. A low mana, they have some way to utilize the graveyard one way or another. In Mono Red it's Dareti, in other ones it's black, so you can do with graveyards whatever the hell you want. And you usually want to play as many Mana Rocks, and if you can play the Ensnaring Bridge and that type of cards, the better. Because guess what? This strategy is not really fast.
Mm-hmm.
This is gonna take a while.
Yeah, and when facing Lantern and when playing Lantern, you just have to, you know, wait it out. Or just, you know, just rush them before they can set up a lock.
Basically. One thing that you need to take a note when playing Lantern in Commander is that if you mill everybody, guess what? A lot of people utilize the graveyards.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be really careful with who you mill and how you mill.
Or when you mill, you use Pyxis of Pandemonium.
Yeah, that, or you have something like Leyline set up.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about the Red Lantern Control, first submitted to us by CS Earl 54 on Tapped Out. We have his decklist in the show notes. And we actually went to his decklist and we found a bunch of things we liked, but a couple of things we would most likely cut out. Right, Nixon?
Mm-hmm.
So what are the things we actually like?
Well, I like the I like the fact that the Reti is the commander, so you can so it brings more how do you say
utility?
Utility, redundancy, and you know, they get rid of some of your key parts, you bring them back. And you know, the Reti by himself can be a finisher.
Mm-hmm. Plus this deck is playing some cards that usually Lantern decks do not play, something like Jester's Cap, which is a really good thing to play.
Yeah, Jester's Cap can just by itself shut down some decks.
Mm-hmm. And then you can get it back again.
And then reuse it. And keep on reusing it.
Yeah. There's also things like Pitting Needle, which is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Pitting Needle is always cool.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what was the card we actually said we really liked? Wall of Denial was a weird one.
Wall of Denial?
Wand of Denial.
Wand of Denial is a weird one. But actually, when you don't have Lantern of Insight,
mm-hmm.
and you don't know the top of their deck, well, you can use Wand of Denial. So let's first see what it does. So it's a 2-mana artifact that on tap, you look at the top card of target player's library. If it's a non-land card, you may pay 2 life. If you do, put it into that player's graveyard. So it's an interesting way of actually doing the lanterns things without lantern.
Mm-hmm. Was there any other artifact we actually really loved? Nothing that in particular, but we wanted to add...
The Spine of Ishsa.
A Spine of Ishsa is a beautiful thing because interacts with the Retis so nicely.
But there's one problem with Spine of Ishsaw. Well, actually, the lack of one particular card, which works wonders with Spine of Ishsaw, and that is Possessed Portal.
Yeah, we would add that one.
Yeah, Possessed Portal is beautiful with Spine of Ishsaw.
What does Possessed Portal do?
Something about players skipping their draw step, and at the end of their turn, they have to sacrifice a permanent.
So, legit text. What? For 8 mana, yeah. It's an artifact. If a player would draw a card, that player skips that draw instead. At the beginning of each end step, each player sacrifices a permanent unless they discard a card.
Yeah, so the point is, you know, you're always going to have Spine of Ishsaw in your hand. So you can replay it, you can sacrifice it, you get it back to your hand. Like, you're not losing anything while your other players are losing everything, bit by bit.
You know what's also an artifact I would like to add in this deck? Uba Mask. You know that one?
I'm familiar with Uba Mask, let's say.
So, 4 mana, artifact. If a player would draw a card, that player exiles that card face up instead. Each player may play cards they exile with Uba Mask this turn.
Oh yeah, Uba Mask is that thing that, you know, kind of shuts down... kind of shuts down control players because, you know, they get rid of their counters.
Also combo players. Mm-hmm. If they can't actually, you know, tutor for it, they're not going to be using it anytime soon.
Also, one thing to note about this deck is that it's not an explosive combo deck like some other Lantern Controls are. But it's more of a, you know, the good old-fashioned grinding matchup by using, you know, cards like Grind Clock.
Literally grinding.
And Girapur Aether Grid to, you know, ping off people. Little by little. You know. You just extend their suffering.
Plus you can... that's just the players? Or... No, that's for creatures as well, so you can actually snipe little things if you want.
Yeah, get or big things. Mana dorks out of here.
Thing I would also like to add in this is, first of all, the Cursed Totem I would like to add in this deck. Because most of your creatures don't have any activated abilities. So honestly, might as well shut everybody else's, like you said, dorks and stuff. Second of all, I would like to see a Blood Moon effect in this deck because you're playing mono red.
Yeah, so it should... even if there are like a bunch of non-basic lands, you really don't care about losing them at some point.
Yeah, I play Blood Moon in my 3-color deck, or 4-color deck, even better.
I mean, if you can like just straight out shut down other players. You're not losing anything. You're completely fine.
Yeah, the things we discussed we'd like to remove from lands would be, first of all, Temple of the False God. That's a bad card, oh god.
I don't know. It's kind of okay.
We have different opinions when it comes to that. Yeah. But the thing we saw in this decklist that we giggled was that it has the Urzatron. And then we're just like,
It has Urzatron, but where's the expedition map?
Yeah, that's also a thing we could add into this deck.
I mean, if you're going Tron, then, you know, go for Tron.
Go all in. Speaking of, creatures would like to see a Wurmcoil Engine in.
Yeah, since, you know, you have Tron.
That, and it's a really good card to have with Dereti.
Yeah, sacrifice outlet and a reanimation target.
Anything in sorceries you would like to add or to put back?
In sorceries? Well, you know, Carthartic Reunion and Faithless Looting are always really good cards to have, especially with Doretti.
Also Tormenting Voice.
Also, of course, Tormenting Voice. I don't really know any sorceries I would add. Really don't know. Do you?
Nothing springs to mind unless we could play Jugglehops with Darkseid Forge.
Well, there's a concept.
Mm-hmm. Since we're going a bit more, you know, taxing people down with this deck, might as well put that in.
Speaking of taxing, well, there might also be room for a Voltaic Key here.
Oh yeah, that's actually a big one.
Because there's already Mana Vault, and Voltaic Key is kind of really good with Mana Vault.
With that, also with Basalt Monolith.
Basalt Monolith, yeah. Well, it's generally a good card for any artifact heavy deck.
Mm-hmm. Plus, the Grind Clock you mentioned earlier gets a little better with that.
Yeah. Also with... together with Unwinding Clock, that's a
lot
of event tapping.
And you can do really nasty things with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even untapping Planar Bridge if you have a bunch of mana lying out.
Even untapping Pixies of Pandemonium to mill people faster.
Oh yeah, if we're actually playing Lantern. Oh wait, we're playing Lantern.
Yeah.
Creatures, there was a couple we wanted to cut from this deck, right?
Mm-hmm. Something like Burnished Heart, because the artifact, the Mana Rock package is already strong enough. So, you know, more basics is not that necessary. And it can, you know, be replaced with something, well, better. Like
Worm Coil?
A Worm Coil?
That would be nice, yeah. Combustible Gearhulk is a bit iffy.
I mean, the Combustible Gearhulk can, like, kill people at some times. I mean, you do have a Spinal Hirsa, that's 7 damage by itself.
Yeah.
That's always fun to do.
Mm-hmm. Duplicate is not bad because you can remove the greatest threats to you, I guess, with Doretti.
Mm-hmm. Kuldoth of Forge Master, of course. A combo enabler, always good.
Goblin Welder, of course, second copy of Doretti. Solemn is eh?
No, Solemn is fine because he can draw your cards, but still Hellkite. Well, I would much rather prefer the Metal Worker, but if he's like out of the budget.
He's a bit too much money in my mind. Instance, I generally like what we have in here. I would just like to remove Starstorm for something like Pyroclasm.
Well, Starstorm's instant speed, which is actually a big deal.
It is, but generally, you know, if you're gonna grind everything to halt, sorcery speed is mostly okay. And the biggest use for Starstorm effects is just to wipe off dorks that people are using to go through stacks.
Yeah, but if you're playing against another... another...
Are you
Lantern
gonna say...
player?
I was gonna say another mono red Lantern player.
Actually, let's say they have blue, so... Mm-hmm. You know, they kind of sneak in that Doomsday, and they want to go off, and they have their... their guy... the Laboratory Maniac, and for some reason they don't have a way to protect him, so you can instantly just kill him.
Honestly, you know what I would run in instead of that card?
Lightning Bolt?
No, actually, Rending Wally. Do you remember that card?
Oh, the one that can't be countered.
Yep. 4 damage to target a white or blue creature.
Just so happens to be that... Lab, man. Is blue.
Mm-hmm. Labman is blue. The guy who manages, who enables the Bomberman combo is white, but has 4 toughness. Tarasios is blue. Timna is white.
Mm-hmm.
and a bunch of the, those really good both Talias are white. Mm-hmm. There's actually a bunch of things you get to kill for just 4 mana. For just the 1 mana, I apologize. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that could be a card you put instead of a Starstorm.
Or just, you know, instead of a couple of lands. Because running 35 lands at this amount of mana rocks...
Yeah, yeah.
I learned that with Mishra as well. I, like, run 34 lands and I get flooded a mm-hmm. fair bit of time.
Especially if you shave things like, you know, maybe the Gear Hulk, the Hellkite and stuff like that.
Yeah, Gear Hulk is never going to draw your cards because people won't let you draw any cards.
Because people are smart.
And, you know, if you have Possessed Portal out, you can't draw cards.
What's card draw? But yeah, this was the Mono Red Direct Lantern Control by C.S. Earl, and we actually liked the deck. We just put a couple improvements in the deck. Not even improvements, just changing the game style a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I actually talked a couple of weeks ago with the deck's creator on our Facebook page, and he was like, I don't actually want to go stacks it because my playgroup isn't like that, but you guys, you know, you do whatever
like. Oh, suddenly... I play stacks for like 2 months and now suddenly I'm a stack. Oh. What have I become? What have I become? Now I'm talking about playing stacks and how to improve your stacks build.
I mean, yeah.
On lanterns. Okay, on to the next then.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have Sirtsu. Lantern Control.
This one is the most standard of the Lantern decks.
Yeah, I know, because one of my friends started... He started playing Magic, and when he... So his first deck was 8-Rack, which is bad enough by itself. And, you know, he just loves, you know, when people don't have fun.
And I like the man. I like the man.
And then, when he was making his commander deck, his first commander deck, he was making Fennex. And I tried to reason with him, like, Fennex is a bad commander because he mills people, and milling is not viable unless you're doing it all in one turn.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that turn by turn mill, Just don't. You're helping people most of the time. It's like almost drawing them cards. So, and he didn't listen. He was all like, yeah, but if you mill their, like, a crucial part of their combo, then they're, like, screwed. They don't have anything else to do. But that's just not the point.
Plus, it's more of a, you just put them in a nice convenient place for them to use it.
Yeah. So, cards in your graveyard, cards in people's graveyards don't, you know, don't stay in their graveyard if they really need it.
Mm-hmm. A case in point, any deck I play.
So he was playing his Fennex and he played it and then at some point he realized that it wasn't really working how he thought it was going to work, and I started suggesting him, like, well, look at this Una commander, look at this Sirtsu commander, why don't you look at those? Like, with Una you can, like, do some control game plans and then just win at some point. I mean, worst case scenario, you can beat them down with Una. And after a bunch of rethinking and thinking, he decided for a Lantern Control Sirtsu. And yeah, now I have to, you know, endure that in Commander as well. He's playing the, you know, the standard Scepter combo, the the dramatic scepter combo and a doomsday combo with Labman, or, you know, dramatic scepter. And he also had at one point the Affetto Alchemist with Illusionist Bracer combo.
I love that guy.
But he cut out the combo to make the other two combos more durable.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, well, what we have here is, well, a more streamlined...
This one is a more streamlined, but a bit more, you know, budgety version of the Circu deck. Mm-hmm. The thing I mind about this deck, this list that we have, that we got from Tapped Out, a lack of artifacts, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I would put even more Mana Rocks into the deck. And shave off a couple of lands, I guess. Something like Dismantle, House of the Shadow.
Yeah.
Even though I love that card, not a good place for it.
I mean, I even found that artifacts such as that 2-mana Prism that either gives you a colorless or transforms a mana into another color.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I mean, that's even a good mana rock, because it's 2-mana.
Basically, yeah.
So, if it's a 2-mana rock, and it comes into play untapped, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
If it comes into play tapped, it's considerable.
If it's something like Cold Steel Heart, if it's that stupid mana rock we saw from Shadows of Innistrad on our first episode. Remember that one?
I do.
Wow, that's bad.
So,
two mana rocks. But yeah, this deck focuses basically on slowing everybody down until it can win with either Isochron Scepter and doing anything you can do with Isochron Scepter. Or, you know, the Bloodsheath Ascension, Duskmantle, Guildmage, Mindcrank combos.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what it does. Just controls the game, slows it down, and then tries to win.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this deck has, you know, added the B-win condition of Ulamog the Ceaseless Hunger. Because, you know. Don't worry, guys, it's just here to exile your cards, not to kill you.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's about that for the blue-black one.
Yeah, there's not a lot to say because... Circu is the most known of the lantern controls.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one we have is actually maybe the most spiciest. Wish Reed from Tapped Out made a Mishra's Lantern combo. Not just that, he made a really detailed primer about basically everything. Sample hands, single card discussions, where do you play it, how do you play it. I'm not sure we're even going to do the justice to the deck. So we will actually link the deck into the show notes and please take a look at it.
Yeah, this is a really refined list.
It's not budgety at all.
Not even close.
I mean, it's playing wonderful things like, you know, Chalice of the Void, Engineering Explosives, and Snaring Bridge, Grim Monolith, everything. Drawing. All the Moxen it can.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, really pimped out, I'm gonna do this. But where those two other lists just had to slow the game down a bit with control cards, this goes into more Staxi mode.
Mm-hmm.
You still have your Isochron Scepters and everything. But you have added things in this deck like Land Equilibrium. You know what that does?
I do not. But if I do now.
Basically, if your opponent has the same number of lands you do, whenever they play a land, they have to sacrifice one land, right? The combo way back when used to be Armageddon and Land Equilibrium.
Oh, yeah, so they can't have lands.
Yep. And in this deck, you don't play that many lands, and you can just, you know, have like one or two, and they can't play anything proper.
Yeah, because you have all this artifact support.
Yeah, and you have things like Possibility Storm in the deck, which also could be useful for the mono red version.
Mm-hmm.
I love the addition of Field of Dreams in the deck, by the way. It's basically telepathy, but you being more pimpy. Not for hands, but for tops of library. You could just be playing Lantern of Insight, but no, you'll spend $125 to, you know, have this in the deck.
Yeah. this is just sending a message.
Yeah. And you have things like Force of Will, Mana Drains, like you said, Vampirix, bunch of Planeswalkers. And added win condition of Walking Ballista.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this deck is just wonderful. I wish I could, you know, actually get money to play this, but I cannot.
Well, you never
know. But yeah, reading to the primer, Icing Receptor is the primary thing, but you can also win with bunch of Karn tokens.
Or, you know, win like... Win in that good old-fashioned way that Lanterns win, by boring everyone, and then just leaving the game. That's a win condition, too.
I mean it is!
That's what I did when I played that Vampire Hunter.
Oh yeah, Matas, right?
Yeah, remember? The only win condition for that deck was to make the game a draw.
Yeah, but that's a bit different than this one.
it left people miserable, just the same.
Oh, that it did.
It's like you're playing for like 1 hour and then nobody wins. And it's like...
No, everybody wins.
Yeah, everybody wins. And you still feel like you just wasted your time. I don't know, to me that was magical.
That was a thing. It was definitely a thing. But everybody should actually just, you know, take a look at this deck. Because, good god, this is nice. I kind of want to proxy this deck and test it out.
You know what I would like to do with this deck?
Burn it?
No. I would also proxy most of it, but then replace Mishra with Reaper King, and then just see how well Reaper King rolls when he's, like, you know, actually competitively built.
I mean, some things you would have to take out, like Possibility Storm.
I was more about keeping this artifact part of the deck, and not...
Oh, yeah.
Not the rest of it.
I mean, yeah.
Who knows, I might just try it out one day.
Wait. Is there... I'm not seeing a Nether Void, actually, in this deck. Aha. Uh-huh. The guy still doesn't own a Nether Void. Because I was like, if you're playing Mishra, you should most likely be playing Nether Void, yeah. Well, are we ever gonna get Magus of the Nether?
Well, Modern Horizons.
Now I actually want that card to be a thing.
There you go.
Because that would be... I would really love that. And make it like black, red, or white and a 2/2.
Of course, yeah. It has to be... The perfect stat line is the 2/2 stat line.
Of course, I mean, we're aiming for perfection.
Yep.
But yeah, Niksha, did you survive us talking about Lantern for more than two minutes?
Yeah, mostly because I was looking at other things. So, so the Mythic Championship is going on.
Speaking of, like right now, at this moment that we're recording.
And I actually didn't, so it's the Mythic Championship Invitational.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, like, not the actual Mythic Championship? right?
You mean this is the actual proper thing that it's supposed to be?
I really don't know. I'm really lost at their tournament organization. All I know is that they're playing this weird format of Magic where everybody has two different decks and they play with their two different decks. Okay. I mean, this isn't Hearthstone, right?
This is not, in fact, Hearthstone. Even though Brian Kibler is at the, you know, commentary, this is still not Hearthstone.
Still not Hearthstone, even though they want it to be. And they probably... I don't know. I have to, like, think about this. The system where they bring two different decks. I mean, Hearthstone did that, but that's because Hearthstone, you know, doesn't have sideboards.
Mm-hmm.
And this way they, I guess they highlight more diverse decks?
I think that was the general idea of the whole thing.
I mean, I really wonder if anybody had the balls to bring the 13 land burn deck.
Because... I mean, I'm seeing a game right now, there is a burn deck, so maybe?
Well, they all know each other's deck list, so... I don't think that anybody would actually be like that like upfront, like hey, their shuffler doesn't work as well as it should do. I mean, it doesn't work as it should be working, so we're abusing that.
No, we're not abusing anything, we're just being tactical.
It's a burn deck, you need all the fuel you want, right?
I mean, yeah. So, anything else you want to add? Or are we just done and finished?
Yeah, just making some small talk.
Yeah, but generally I'm okay with, you know, Magic trying out new things with MTG Arena coverage.
Well, anything that brings them more money.
I mean, yeah, and I think this is actually going to be a successful thing.
I mean, more money? More money means more... I don't know. At some point, it's going to be better for the players.
Yeah. I mean, MTG Arena is already good for people who don't have enough time to actually go out and play Magic.
Yeah, Arena is actually... It's a lot better than I expected it to be.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem I have with Arena is... I just don't have the patience of waiting for people to pass their priorities and things. Because I know, you know, I'm used to, like... playing paper Magic, where you mm-hmm. can actually, like,
shortcut things
and do things while other people do things. Like, okay, I fetch, and, like, while I'm searching, you know, you may play. Things like that. While on online, you're kind of stuck. And if your opponent is like me, meaning they alt-tab while it's not their turn, then you're gonna have a bit of, you know, waiting.
So what you're basically saying is this is a good product, it's just not for you.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay, I think.
I mean, once it gets to mobiles and I actually get a phone...
Yeah, you and phones.
Then maybe.
Like you'll ever get a phone.
I mean, I have to. I mean, Diablo Immortal is coming, right?
And you guys have phones, right?
NPC is another platform.
Sad.
But yeah, that's about it that we wanted to cover this time.
Mm-hmm. Let us know if we actually didn't cover this topic in depth enough, so next time we do something similar to this, we actually go even more in depth. But this time we had, you know, three decks to talk about. And not that much time to cover everything.
Yeah, but maybe even, like, go over the game plan of an archetype, just to be sure.
Well, basically, if you like discussions like this that we take, you know, decks and just cover different strategies, let us know. Because we had actual fun talking about Lantern, even though Nixa doesn't want to admit it.
Sure, yeah, I had fun.
No, yeah. You had fun talking about it. You didn't have to play against it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I still feel, you know, a bit hurt inside talking about it.
Wow.
I just hope that the Tybalt will be the Tybalt we always wanted, which is a one mana, one loyalty walker with just one ability, and that's for zero. You draw a card and discard a card.
Or draw two cards, discard two cards.
No, we can't have that.
Or draw two cards, discard three cards.
Or draw two cards, discard two at random?
No, Niksha. I want it to be playable.
So then, look, just draw a card, discard a card, that's good enough.
It is,
but
you know.
Looting on a one mana planeswalker that actually doesn't do anything but loot?
Yeah, that's fine enough.
Common.
I think we'll be lucky if we have Tybalt this good.
Maybe they do a complete twist and they make Tybalt like the best planeswalker there ever was. Like
nobody will see that one coming.
Nobody can see the good Tybalt coming. Nobody expects that.
It was prophesied and then everybody laughed at the prophecy.
Tybalt's going to be the only one that survives the war.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so. That was it.
This was episode 87 of the Elder Dragon Journal podcast.
Getting close.
Yeah? You gonna say?
Yeah, getting close to that 100
mark. Elusive 100.
Maybe we'll get there this year.
Most likely, because we actually are keeping our schedule proper lately.
Yeah, for the next 2 weeks, I'll be kind of very busy because we need to prepare our game for the reboot develop.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean for the podcast?
Hmm?
What does that mean for the podcast, though?
Well, what does that mean for the podcast? Well, if it's okay with you and other people's, I mean, they don't really have a choice now, do they? we might even talk about our game on the podcast.
I was prepared for you to tell me, you know, 2 weeks off or something like that. I'm actually much, much, much more hype with this.
I mean, I'll probably be, like, over my head with work, so I might find some time, but I doubt it. But yeah, we'll definitely, like, bring maybe a guest on the show, talk about...
Mm-hmm.
Talk about, you know, Phageborn. Also, people, it would be swell of you if you just went and wishlisted it.
On Steam.
Yeah, not sellout, by the way.
I mean, this is literally what you do. You're not sold out. You're actually working there. Nobody approached and told you shield this.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, I've been waiting to talk about bloody Phageborn for a good while. Because I played it and I'm like, this is a great game.
Also not sellout.
That's the best thing I'm not actually being about sellout, because I get nothing from this game. I didn't get any merch, I didn't get anything, I just played the game and really liked it.
I mean, you did get a complimentary shirt for, you know...
I still didn't.
Oh. Okay, so that was episode 77. You can find all our contact information on
MTGcast. Yeah.
And as always, this has been your co-host, Niksha.
And this was Igor, and as always, the Emperor protects but doesn't give me free shirts.
He might look into that.
Good night, everybody. The Flood.
band of my brothers has been swallowed by the ground. Unbelievable insatiable thirst, the lines break. Tide swirls and rushes forth, my arms shake. I am swallowed by the storm surge. But I will turn from this, we will emerge from this. Ignore the creeping dread that slithers up our spines from this. Yet I'm the final dirge. Hear me! I command a standard, so we'll stand and face a chaos scourge. I count the days as to come, turn to a month now. Still with perseverance we raise the body count. Besides the pangs of pain, know that I know your face. You'll know mine when every death is repaid. Burning bastions sanctioned by your chaplains. Line up every side while I align the battlements. 10,000 lights burn out in a blink. With a stalwart step prepared to hold before this brink of the precipice. One light to wind with disaster. Declare the funeral song. One reason that you hold on. Show me the war, master! And those I thought were my brothers have turned their backs on the fold. The Edmunds I time now hold. We hid ourselves in the dark. Foundation shook. Step out of the sunlight to re-emerge. Luna wolves. Now we wait on our haunches. Coiled. Soon I will find my vengeance gets a despoiled. I can't forget the sight of their becoming poison. Suffering immaterial death. Fate unavoidable. Knife meets back. This brother meets bloodshed. Return to give the devil tap into the serpent's head. Backstabber turn go. Chain of command failures. Miniature lower soldiers it attacks to your defenses. Tide turns again and not in our favor. My forces place this, but not once do they waver. And as the palace is breached, I'll take what I can reach. Aim for Abaddon's throat. Your life is beyond reproach. By the despicable's hand, our hope is scattered like sand. And every outcome I wanted sits above me unhaunted. Should have kept deeper still. Burn my grave to fill. Soon I will have all your heads. You should have checked I was dead. And I can still see their faces. Their trusting look led astray. Only blood can amend this.